Thank you very much, Brother Don. Sorry I don't know any more than Brother Don had said, and Brother Tom promised to call tonight. That's all I know. I guess he said just what I know in relation to Miriam, his sister. She was the lady who was the preacher. I guess his father had two preachers in the family. One was a woman and a girl, and one was a boy, Tom and Miriam. And Miriam went into Camp Road, off East Shirley Street, and went into that area and started a Sunday school, worked many, many years building that Sunday school, and then I guess, like a lot of these works start with a woman, women's prayer meeting, things like that began, and then with her own hands and what she could get other people to help her with, she built a building, a small building. I'm not sure now whether she built it or whether she bought it and renovated it. I'm not sure. And belonged to the Native Baptist Church Society in Nassau. There's a society of churches called Native Baptist Church. And a Dr. Simonet is the head of that. He's the pastor of one of the bigger churches in Nassau. But there are different Baptist societies. You know, that's the one that she belonged to. And plagued with a heart condition and weakness and diabetes, and apparently just had one of her weak spells, and whatever happened, she lived with his brother Wentworth, I think it was. Tom has two brothers who live in Nassau. One is a big wig in the hotel industry. She lived with him, and she just went home to be with the Lord. There's no doubt I've met her. She was a fine Christian lady. And there's no doubt that she was saved and belonged to the Lord. But Tom was pretty shaken by it, and he said when he was in Abaco that the Lord, it seems as if the Lord spoke to him directly and said, when you go to Nassau, make sure you get together with her and go see the lawyer and see her banker and see everybody else and make sure she has all her stuff in order, because he said he didn't know why, but he got hold of her and she agreed, let's go and get it all done. And they went and everything was put in order. Yeah, finished it up before he came here. And, it was just a shock to him because he was, I guess, closer to her than... There's another sister that sells produce, she's one of those vendors along the road up east somewhere she sells. Brother Don said he needs our prayers because, I say, he was pretty shaken. He got over it some, a little bit after that, but it was just so many things that went through his mind at that time that it just took a little bit of time to settle, and because being away from it, and it happened, and he was not there to... So, trust we'll hear from him tonight, and I'm sure I'll let Brother Don know what he says if he calls me. He'll probably be calling you as well. Sure. Again, we'd like to remind you to remember us as we go tomorrow to head for Marble Hill, Missouri next Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be starting that week of gospel meetings at the little assembly, Marble Hill, Missouri. And we need the Lord's help in traveling. So we'll be driving from Fort Lauderdale to Marble Hill. It'll take just over 2 days to do it. And we'll do the same thing on the way back. We'll be there two Sundays. So it'll be like starting Sunday and preach right straight through Friday, break on Saturday and preach Sunday again, and we finish. And then the next Sunday, the next weekend rather, we'll be in an assembly down in Tennessee where we've been going quite regularly, always have a door open for us, and they were glad to know we were coming through. And that will be our like three Sundays up that in that area. So we trust you. The Lord be with you here as he's with our men. We still hearing as we moved about today and other times how many people were very much blessed Sunday evening and the Lord was glorified, and that's important. I've had the tape, played it back several times. Brother Lawrence is going to be producing more tapes, and you can see him if you'd like a copy, but it'll bless your heart to hear it again. It's just very, very moving, very, very moving. Luke chapter 24 this evening. Luke chapter 24. We would like to read at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one with another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we hope that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company amazed us, who were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they found not, saw not. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went. He made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done along the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. The Lord will bless to our hearts this reading of his precious word this evening. They had been with Jesus for a long time. He had become their friend. They had heard his words of counsel. They had seen the miracles, and they believed in him. They believed that he would deliver Israel from the yoke and the bondage and the suppression and the oppression. But then, one evening, they saw as he was taken. And they watched that illegal trial. And they wondered with amazement that he could have such patience and such forbearance as they mocked him and scourged him and beat him. And they wondered why he didn't call 10 legions of angels and destroy all of those people. But they watched him as he died. And they knew that he was put in a borrowed tomb, a brand new tomb. They knew that Jesus was dead. And whether they remembered or whether they had been reminded by some others, the word of God came to them that Jesus had said that you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. And now it was the morning of the third day. Very early in the morning. The Bible says that there were those who came to the sepulcher. And when they came to the sepulcher, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they went in and found not the body of the Lord. And there were these two men who stood by them. Their garments were shining. And they were afraid when they saw these men. And they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" They said, "He's not here. He's risen. You've forgotten what he said to you when he was in Galilee. He said to you that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You've forgotten that." And verse 8 of chapter 24 says, they remembered his words. They remembered his words. They had forgotten them before. And they left the sepulcher. And they went to the 11 disciples and they told them all the things that had happened. And all the rest, it says in verse 9, all the rest that were there, these probably were there. And it says their words seemed to them as idle tales. And then it says this, these amazing words, they believed them not. Two men stood by us in shining apparel. And these two men said that Jesus was alive. And it says they believed them not. And to show that they didn't believe it, Peter jumps up. And he runs to the sepulcher. And he looks in and he sees the linen clothes lying by themselves. Still not convinced, the word of God says, he departs. And he's wondering himself at all the things that had come to pass. And so with all of that, these two leave that company. They decide that we've had enough of this. They had hit rock bottom. Their hopes were dashed. Their faith was utterly shaken. You see, they trusted in him. But the Bible says, Jesus said, they didn't believe all that the prophets had spoken. And the word of God reminds us that they had forgotten his words. And now they're in a state of deep depression. In other words, they had been built up. And now they were let down. I'm not saying Jesus let them down. I'm saying they were built up. And now they are let down. They've come from the mountain to the valley. And they can't handle the drop. They can't handle the low. Because you see, Jesus is not real to them. And he's not real to them because his word is not relevant to them. and because they have forgotten His word. And so they too decide, we're going home. We're going back to our old jobs. Going back to our old way of life. And we followed Him for all these years. And really we really thought that He would make life better for us. And now, is He alive? They doubted that He was alive. They doubted that He was alive. And so they walk along on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says this, that they talked together. Their conversation was all right. It says they talked together of the things which had happened. The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the supposed resurrection of Christ, these were the things that they were talking about. They were talking about good things. Jesus comes alongside of them. They don't realize that it's Jesus. The Bible says that as they communed together and reasoned. Now, communing and reasoning is a little bit more than talking. I got a feeling that without reading anything into these verses that they were not agreed 100%. The two of them did not agree 100% on whatever they were talking and reasoning about, because there was a strong argument going on between them. One probably believed it, the other one didn't. I don't know. But it says, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. And if I get anything out of this whole story, it's this. That Jesus does not just think about me when I am as spiritual as I can be. But Jesus thinks just as much about me and cares just as much about me when I am just as unspiritual as I can be. Jesus cares as much for me when I'm in touch with heaven, just as much as when I am not in touch with heaven. He's in the business of restoring fellowship. He's in the business of making right relationships and of keeping that fellowship with His children, with those whom His Son has died for. God is interested in every one of us. And I like that little line that says, Jesus drew near. Jesus Himself. Now, it says two men stood by them when they were perplexed there at the tomb. And the two men that stood by them were heavenly messengers. There's no doubt sent by God. God had sent them to comfort their hearts and to give them certain instruction. But now it's time, not just for Moses or Elias or a heavenly messenger. It's time now for Jesus. The heavenly messengers won't do. And it's time for Jesus to draw near. And Jesus Himself, it says. I like that word, Himself. Himself. Because this is the same Jesus that we sing sometimes. Himself, He could not save. He on the cross must die. This same Jesus who was dying for our sin. And there is not one of us, there is not a saint of God who does not sometime find himself in similar circumstances. There is no spirit left within you. There is no heart left within you. Troubles and problems and difficulties come and you have no spirit, you have no life, you feel like you throwing in the towel, giving up.
calling it quits. So the game is over. We've lost. Beloved, every day you and I will come to the place where we'll say the game is over and we're lost if we take our eyes off Jesus. They did. They did. As long as Jesus was with them visibly, seems like everything was okay. But when they had to rely upon their memory, when they had to exercise their thought and recall things that he had said, it seems as if then they let other things block their vision of Christ. Because you know that we see Christ. The scripture says we see Christ made a little lower than the angels. How do we see him? Through the word of God. Through the word of God. They saw him visibly. And when he was taken from them visibly, they seemed to have a problem. It's not easy to continue in the good old gospel way. It's not easy to keep on the firing line. But beloved, the secret is, and each of us can attest to this because of the Word of God, the secret is that we must keep in the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God, the written Word, that reveals the living Word. And we can see the living Word in these pages. God has given to us His inspired Word. Maybe they got lazy. I don't know. And you know, one of the things that all of us have to fight as human beings is laziness. When it comes to spiritual things, nothing is automatic. We live in an instant world, and I suppose that affects us. Somehow, sometimes, if we're not careful, we get to think, well, spirituality and spiritual things and fellowship with God is instant. I can just read a chapter and that's it. Or I can go to church on Sunday and I'm fixed for the rest of the week. Get a fix. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Our mind must be set. There has to be a mindset. And I suppose what this age has done, what the God of this world and the God of this age that we're living in, it's caused us to focus on different things. There are so many things to cause us to focus on. And we seem to, at times, have the wrong focus. All of us get affected by it. It's the world in which we live, putting pressure on us, squeezing us into its mold, wanting us to give as little time as we can to the things of Christ. The God of this world would cause us to be selfish and think of ourselves. I need time for me, but not giving God even equal time to what I give me. Whatever caused these believers to get into this state where they forgot the Word of God, you cannot forget the Word of God and continue in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we forget the Word of God, we can be assured that the devil will get us down. We will not be able to stay on the mountaintop. We can go to all the conferences we want. We can have all the services like we had the other evening, where we are right up there and our spirits are blessed. 5 minutes later, we can be right on the bottom too. We must keep in touch with the living God. And we keep in touch through His Word. Let's remember His promises. Let's remember His person. Let's remember all that He has said that He's going to do for us. And let's remember that He is God, that He is the sovereign God. They forgot. Forgetting means to lose out on the blessing. But I like when it says Jesus Himself came alongside. Because, beloved, the Holy Spirit is with us. And the Bible says He is the Paracletos. He was given to us to come alongside of us, to tie up like a ship ties up alongside the dock. And He's there to guide us. He's to direct our lives. And even though the blessed Spirit of God is that life of Jesus that's within us that makes us saved, it says Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not recognize Him. And beloved, I believe that there are times that because of depression and because of problems and difficulties that come our way, Jesus, who is within us, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who is with us, that blessed Spirit who is there to inspire us and to make us know that His life is within us, we do not recognize Him. He was right alongside of them, and they didn't recognize Him. And He said, what kind of communications are you having one with another as you walk and are sad? Now here there were communications one with the other. What kind? What manner? And I suppose the question comes to me and to you. What kind of communications are we having? What kind are we having with Jesus day by day? Is the communication that we're having one with the other causing us to be sad? I go to Nassau and the first thing I do is buy the newspaper. I seem like I gotta buy it. I gotta buy the Tribune, I gotta buy the Guardian, and I've gotta read the headlines, and I get very depressed. And I come home and I never think of it. I never think of the papers. Calvin comes by now and again and he brings me one, keeps me up to date on what's happening. But things can depress us. And as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds in our way, the song says. As we do His good will, He abides with us still. If we trust and obey. They had forgotten that. They had forgotten that. And here they were walking, and they were sad. Beloved, there is a walk. The believer's walk in the Spirit can be joyous. It can be filled with joy. But all that was in their mind was a catastrophe. A catastrophe had happened with Jesus. They saw Him get killed as far as they were concerned. He was murdered. And then they put Him in a tomb, and as far as they were concerned, He didn't rise again. They had no hope of resurrection. And beloved, you and I will be depressed if we ever get to the state where we do not believe in the resurrection. If we do not believe that Jesus is alive for one moment, if the devil gets us to the place where we don't believe that Jesus is alive. Because there is no victory if Jesus is not alive. And there can be nothing but doubt if Jesus is not alive. Jesus is the great captain of our salvation. And there's no one to chart the course of life for us. From here through time and into eternity, there is no one if Jesus is not alive. He must be alive. We must believe that. And if He's alive, we must believe that He walks with me and He talks with me and He can be with me every moment of every day. I need Thee every hour, most blessed Lord. It says, their eyes were holden that they should not recognize Him. when he asked the question to them, what manner of communications with each you have one with another, as you walk, they're sad. One of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said, are you only a stranger? Beloved, that same Jesus that we were praising on Sunday evening here, that same Jesus that we were exalting, that same Jesus on Monday can be to any one of us only a stranger. Only a stranger. And the question we must ask our hearts this evening, is he more than a stranger to us? Is he a friend? The song Brother Don likes to give out quite a bit is, there's no one like my Savior. It's a good song. It's a good song. No friend like him. He's the friend. The choir sings a song, Jesus is the friend of sinners. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's our friend. And yet, it is possible through and through our slackness, because the lack of spirituality in my life is a result of either sin or laziness. One of two things. And I realize that I allow sin, I allow wrong attitudes, and I allow wrong words, and I allow wrong things. It doesn't have to be adultery, it doesn't have to be murder. He became only a stranger to them. But remember, it was only a few days before this that they were with him. They were with him. And I'll guarantee you that if some others had pulled their swords and start chopping off heads like Peter did, I guarantee you that they'd have been right alongside of them, chopping off heads and fighting. Because this is the time for us to take over. Such bravery. Such boasting. And now look at them. Look at them. Said, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? I don't believe I have to explain that to anybody in this audience. I'm sure that you know that Jesus didn't ask that question because he needed to know. Jesus wanted to hear them say. But remember, he's the all-knowing God. He knew. And they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he was right alongside of them. He was talking to them. Can it be that he talks to me at times and I don't even hear his voice? You say, well, I hear it. But beloved, we can get to the place where we don't recognize his voice. My sheep know my voice. Beloved, as sheep, and he being the shepherd, we must always recognize his voice. Because he warns us at times. And it's so dangerous for me. When I get into the state of depression and backsliding and away from him, that I don't hear his voice. You see, sometimes we talk about hearing his voice, and it's hearing his voice when he speaks to us tenderly, when he speaks blessing to our hearts. But beloved, if you were walking over a precipice and gonna fall to your death, you'd want to hear somebody's voice saying, hold up, man, stop, stop. And beloved, there are many times that believers go headlong into spiritual death because they've come to the place where they don't recognize his presence and he's right alongside of them and they don't hear his voice. We must always hear his voice. They said he was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and the people. He was more than just a prophet, you know. When Jesus said, what things? They said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. Well, that's true. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. That was good. But you and I must not just recognize him as prophet. We mustn't recognize him just as a good teacher. Yeah, he's a teacher. You're a teacher, Nicodemus said. Come from God. And we know that no man can do the miracles that you do. But those miracles couldn't save Nicodemus. Good teacher couldn't save Nicodemus. He must be a redeemer. He must recognize that he's going to be the Paschal Lamb. Not just a teacher sent from God. Yes, we know that he was a prophet. But beloved, to those of us who are believers, we must know him in the reality of it, in the practicality of it. Practically, we must know him as priest. Yes, on Sunday mornings we come and we come as priests to offer to him our worship. Because he's our great high priest. But don't let's forget, beloved, that he's at the Father's right hand in glory right now. And there he's our intercessor. And because he's our intercessor, he ministers to us. Through the Spirit of God, he ministers to you and I. As priests, beloved, as we enter into the holiest with him, he ministers to us. But the ministry from him is only in the holiest. You just can't get it anywhere. There has to be that intimate fellowship with him. Hearts must be right with him. We must be living according to the word of God and in fellowship with him to hear his voice, to know his presence. Yes, he's prophet. Yes, we must recognize him as priest. Yes, we must recognize his authority to teach. And we must recognize his words as being the only words of God and the only words of life and of living. We must recognize that he is our priest, our great high priest, who represents us before God. He represents us not only for our physical needs, but for all of our spiritual needs. And he's our king. He's prophet. He's priest. He must be king. And if I don't recognize him as prophet, priest, and king, if I only recognize him as prophet, that's not enough. I must recognize his lordship in my life. It's one thing to sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's good to sing that beautiful chorus, Majesty. Worship his majesty. But have I made him the majestic person who rules my life? In verse 21, they said, but we hoped that it had been he who would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You see where their faith was? You see where their trust was? In verse 24, he says, but him they found not. In verse 25, he picks it up and he begins to talk to them now. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones. Jesus calls them foolish ones. Why? Jesus says that I'm one of the foolish ones when I'm slow of heart to believe. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he says this, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a full verse. Verse 27, beginning at Moses. Apparently that's where they had left off. Because Moses teaches us some tremendous lessons on faith. And it was their lack of faith and commitment to God and trust in the living God that brought them to this place. And Moses didn't have a lot of it, remember, when he started. But God says, remember this, when you go in and you're going to speak to Pharaoh, just say, I am, has sent you. Now, Moses, you'll have to remember that. And Moses did great and mighty things for God. Not because of his faith. Not because of his brains. Not because of his smartness. But because he remembered his God. And he didn't forget to tell Pharaoh that the great I Am had sent him. And so Jesus says, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. And now he ministers to them. How does Jesus go about getting them out of this depression? Well, number one, he listens. He listens to them. Oh, I thank God that you and I, when God brings us to the place of repentance and brokenness as believers, in our frailness and our stumbling and our fumbling and even in our sinful state as believers, Jesus listens to me. Listens. Listens is what he does. Listens. He knows all about me, but he still says, talk, my child. Speak. Speak, my child. And when they were through pouring out their heart, they had given Jesus the complete picture. Not that he didn't know, but he let them tell him. He was a good listener. Beloved, you and I need to be good listeners, because there are a lot of people who, times we have counseling situations and times we need to help people. We've got to listen. Got to listen. Got to let them just pour their heart out and then all the time be saying, Lord, what will lead me to what I must say to help this person out of this state of depression that they're in. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What did Jesus use? Jesus used the scriptures to bring their focus back on him. They had gotten their focus off of Jesus. Now, I used to use a camera one time. You had to focus the lens. Today, you buy these cameras, and in just a minute, you open up the lens, and it gets an object in its path. It focuses automatically. But it still has to focus. And if it malfunctions, and you take a picture, and it's not focused, if it's blurred, it's going to come out blurred. The lens of our soul, beloved, must be focused upon Jesus. And what he did was to get them out of their depression, to get them off of their problems. We thought, listen to what they say. I, me, we, they were concentrating on their feelings. And you'll discover that most of the time when we get depressed, it's because we somehow have had our feelings hurt. We have been deprived of something. Somebody has spoken to us in the wrong way. Or God has allowed some difficulty. Little Crystal on Sunday morning, she said, Brother Tom, God did something to me last year and I asked him why. Was I wrong? You know what she was referring to? I'm sure most of you know, right? God took her daddy. Let me tell you, when you're as close as Crystal was to her daddy, and when you are as dependent as Crystal is, being the type of child she is, she was like these on the road to Emmaus. She says, I said, I asked God why. And I don't think it's sinful for believers. There are times when you look up to God, the loss has been so great, the hurt has been so terrific, And doesn't matter how spiritual you may be, there are things that can happen. And you become so broken, you become so wounded. You have to say, Lord, why? And I think Brother Wayne answered it as beautiful as anybody I could hear answer it on Sunday evening here. The Lord meant it to good. Isn't that what he said? The Lord meant it to good. Crystal, the Lord meant it to good. But I'll tell you, it's hard for Crystal to see that. Because she goes home and she depended on her daddy for some things. And he was her companion. And daddy's not there anymore. And Crystal is not like me and you. Crystal can't get out there and run if a fire's coming. She depends on daddy to take her in his arms and put her in the car and let's get out of here. If a robber came, she depends on daddy. And daddy's not there. And that's where these were. They loved Jesus. Beloved, don't look at these two people and say, oh, they were out of touch. Well, they were out of touch, but remember, they loved Jesus. But events had come into their life, not all their making. And they had just made a couple little slips along the way. The frailty of the flesh had come in. And they had forgotten. All of us forget, right? That's why the Lord Jesus instituted the feast. He said it's a forget-me-not feast, the Lord's Supper, that we forget not about his death, burial, and resurrection, but we all forget. And any of us can find ourselves in that state, in the state where they are. And what does the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus says, what we say is, I'm going to stay away from church, I'm going where believers, I'm not going to read my Bible, I'm going to listen to any tapes. We need to read the Word of God. Because what he does here, beloved, if you get in a depressed state, read the Word of God. There's no substitute. Take your pills, but read the Word of God. Take your pills, read the Word of God. And I'm not talking about clinical depression, where people have to see a doctor. I'm not talking about that. That can be involved. But I'm talking about other depression, where you don't feel like going out. You don't feel like talking to anybody. Jesus ministered unto them from the Word of God. He went to Moses and all the prophets and he expounded. Beloved, let me say, verse 27. Maybe as an evangelist, I don't do enough expounding of the Word of God. But there are men who come, we're evangelists. The church needs the evangelists and the church needs the teachers. Malcolm Horlock will come and Malcolm Horlock will expound. He will expound the Word of God. It says he expounded. Jesus expounded the Word of God to them. Jesus made sure they understood the Word of God and Jesus applied it to them. That's what he did. And it all focused in him. The things concerning himself. All of his credentials as prophet, priest, and king, he brought out to them. And it says they drew near to the village to which they went. And Jesus just did as he would go on. And by now they had enjoyed his presence so much. Their heart had been stirred so much. The Spirit of God was now working in them so much. The scriptures here use a word that I'm not sure the one word conveys the full meaning of what their feeling was. It says they constrained him. They constrained him. I've seen a mother, when she heard that her son had just been killed in the war, I've seen two men trying to restrain her. This was an emotional experience, even their restraining. They actually ran down the road and got a hold of Jesus and said, you ain't going. They didn't know it was him. You're coming with us. You can't leave us. They constrained him. Abide with us. And then a beautiful thing. Verse 29. He went in to tarry with them. And he wants to come in to tarry with us, beloved. To tarry with them. He went in to stay with them. He sat with them eating. He took bread and blessed it. And broke it and gave it to them. And the Bible says their eyes were opened as they recognized him and he vanished out of their sight. Beloved, it happened because Jesus ministered to them from the Word of God. And then when Jesus takes bread that speaks of his body that was broken, he ministered to them from the written word. Some of it was written then, some was not written. But he went back into the prophets. They had the parchments. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it by heart. Jesus preached to them from the word. He used the word. And now he comes and he uses another type of word. It's the living word, himself. It's himself. He preaches from the written word. He ministers to them so that they will see him, the living word. And now he takes that bread and he breaks it. And their eyes are open, the word of God says. Their eyes are open. Their eyes are open, beloved. What a beautiful sight when they can see Jesus. So many things block my vision of Jesus. I recognize that day by day. But we must be sensitive to the things that are around us. We've got to be. It's not to say that, hey, to be a spiritual person means nothing will block your vision. Nothing will perturb you. Don't believe that. The most spiritual person will be that person who can be so very sensitive to everything that would hinder him spiritually and know how to handle it when it comes. That's maturity. And they became aware. Before they didn't recognize him, now they become aware that right alongside them, sitting with them, breaking the bread, is the real Christ. How many times do you and I come to the breaking of bread, beloved, and we see the real Christ? They did not see the real Christ right alongside of them. But, beloved, the real living Christ. You say, well, how can he come here? He comes through his word. He comes through those emblems. Those same emblems. How did they recognize him? They recognized him when he broke the bread. Was the breaking of bread significant? Yes, it was significant. Yes, it was significant. Because as he broke the bread, spoke of his body. And that same bread, as he broke the bread, he revealed. There was a revelation. The breaking of bread is a revelation. It reveals to us Christ. It reveals Christ. And how was Christ revealed? As he broke the bread, there was a revelation of his wounds in his hands. There's no doubt that they could see those wounds as he broke the bread. Jesus broke the bread. We can see him every Sunday, beloved, as he breaks the bread. But oh, there are so many things that crowd out the face of Jesus from us and the voice of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. This is why there are times when I come and silently and sometimes publicly I may pray, Lord, remove the things that would cause me not to see Jesus, because it's so easy. So easy to be occupied with the people that are in front of me and around me, people I've been talking to as I came in. So easy to let the devil bring flooding into my soul, like a giant stream, the things that have happened during the week, whether good or bad, when I come to see Jesus and see him only. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Beloved, let me tell you, expounding ministry must cause our hearts to burn. It was Jesus' presence, the revelation of Jesus, the recognizing of his person that caused their hearts to burn within them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, beloved, I trust that as Jesus ministers to my heart from time to time, that my heart will burn. Lord, set my soul on fire. I'll never forget meeting old Gundy over in Harbor Island. He said, man, I listened to that radio program last night. He said, I heard that choir sing one song. Man, he said, it set my soul on fire. And that's what I need. Lord, it says their hearts burn. Man, they had to be on fire to burn. Did not our hearts burn? You can feel it. There's a warmth. His presence. You know what it did? Verse 33 says, and they rose up. As soon as their eyes were open, their hearts had burned, they recognized Jesus, it says, they rose up. They got up. They got up. I'll tell you, do something for you to, for witnessing and for remembering a lost world out there. They rose up the same hour and went back to Jerusalem and went to the 11 and said, hey, we can't leave you in the darkness here. We want to tell you what's happened to us. You know what they said? The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to us. And it says, as they spoke, Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Peace. Beloved, when Jesus met them, there was everything but peace in their hearts. There was no peace. They were like the troubled sea. And now Jesus speaks peace. And beloved, Jesus wants to speak peace to my heart and to my breast. Jesus wants to bring that calm into my life. But he wants me to trust him, and I trust him through his word. And he wants me to be patient and to remember that if I don't hear his voice, that I must keep on talking to him. And like Tom said to the girl, if there's a question you have to ask God why when he brings the depression in, and sometimes God won't give the answer right away. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good for them. And God means it for good for you and I. Let's be encouraged in the Lord and go on to witness and serve him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you bless it to our hearts as we take it this evening. Pray for the program this evening from Freeport as it comes into the northern Bahamas, and homes in Murphytown and Bimini and down in the Berry Islands and over in the east coast of Florida. Lord, we just pray for some heart this evening who will hear the message, who will hear the song, and their heart will be set on fire, and they'll trust in Jesus Christ. Bless your people here. Bless all the needs that are represented. We pray in Jesus' name.